Good morning, everyone. My name is Emily Ambroso, and I currently head up our resource team. That is the team in the church that is in charge of all the finances, the building, all those really exciting things that nobody else wants to deal with or think about. But it is a necessary part of the ministry we do here. So all that I'm telling you this morning is not really anything new, hopefully, to any of you. Charlie talked about it last week. There was an email that went out to the church this week. But we wanted to just keep reiterating this information and offer you opportunities to ask questions. For the first time in the life of this church, we are facing a budget crisis. This year, we created our budget, and based on what we're projected to spend through the end of the year, it's about $365,000. But based on giving trends that have been decreasing, some due to people leaving, some due to a variety of reasons, we are looking at having to budget to $335,000 next year. So that's a $30,000 gap. And as we look at the breakdown in our budget, I think some of the tendency is, oh, well, maybe we can tweak this ministry or that ministry. But really, when you look at it, ministries only make up 5% of our budget. Most of our budget is staff, and we absolutely do not want to alter or lose any of our staff because we love them so much. And then we've got 25% that goes to our facilities, our building, the maintenance, the upkeep, the mortgage, all of those things. And then we regularly give 10% of our income from the church to people outside of our body, whether it's through our breakfast club or through some other ministries that we do, like our foster care initiative, trying to reach those who need to be reached. And so we are making a big ask of the congregation at this point, because we don't want to cut staff and we don't want to have to leave this building. But those are some of the things that we have to look at if we're looking at cutting $30,000 from our budget. So if we take the gap that we're looking at, we've got $30,000, and we divide it out by 12 months, and we divide it by about 175 people that are here every week. That breaks down to $15 a month per person, or just $375 a week. So something that we're asking of you all is, last week, I think everybody should have received a card that looks like this, that says Bridge the Gap on it. We're asking for a pledge, basically, a pledge above and beyond what you're currently giving, if you have any margin, to see if you can help make up that $15 per person per month. And we understand that that is way too much to ask of some people in this room. And for some people, it's really just a drop in the bucket and something they could easily do. So we're asking that you prayerfully consider that with yourself, your family, and see if that's something that you're able to help us with. You can take the cards. If you have one with you, you can put it in the offering box. There are a few more out on the welcome booth. Also, if you go to imagodaychurch.org, on the front of the homepage, there's a big banner that says Bridge the Gap, has a picture of the Peoria Bridge, and you can click on that and fill out the form electronically too. So next Sunday is the last time we'll be accepting those. So either bring this back next week, fill it out online, or drop it in the offering box today. Also, some members of the leadership team will be available in the Parkview room after service. If you would like to come and ask questions, if you have specific questions about the budget or just want to hear more about any of these things that I've been talking about here or anything else specifically, we would love to answer your questions, engage in dialogue. We want to hear what you all have to say about the situation we're facing too. So we're really looking at everything that we can. We would love to bridge the gap so we don't have to make the really super hard decisions of cuts and moves and all that. So anyway, we'd love to see any or all of you in the Parkview room after service. One other thing we also wanted to ask of you as a leadership team is, a couple weeks ago we passed out these cards. It's just a survey about what brought you to Imago and what keeps you here. So as we're looking forward in the budget year and having to make decisions, we can help figure out where we need to focus. What are the things about this church that make this church what it is? And what do you see as the integral parts of this church, so we're not just looking from our perspectives as well? So there, again, there are more of these in the booth, the welcome booth out front. Or if you would like, they're also available online. You can email me at emily@imagodaychurch.org, and I can send you a link to the online form if you don't want to fill that out today. But again, if you could drop those in the offering booth, I think today's the last day we're going to be accepting those. So before we stop talking about the budget and get into the rest of the service, I wanted to invite a couple people up here. Corey and Vicki Brown have been part of this church from the beginning. They are part of the heartbeat of this church, and we just wanted to give them an opportunity to share with you why they give and the ways in which they've oriented their lives around giving to this church. So here you go. Thank you.
Thanks, Emily. What an exciting topic. Okay, I wanted to talk about why this church in particular is important to me and worth us giving to support it. So I'm going to do a dangerous thing. I want audience participation here. So I'm going to ask you to raise your hand in a minute. So the what I'm getting at are people like me who have had some kind of experience with another church or religious organization where you were basically kicked out or rejected or felt rejected by this group because of your doctrine, because of some disputable, debatable practice, because of whatever other thing in there that you thought you were earnestly following after God, and they said, no, that is not what followers of Jesus do in this place. So all of you raise your hand. That is not what Christian unity is supposed to be. And that is one of the more foundational things for me when we were creating this body was, what does it look like for true Christian unity? We just talked about John 17, where Jesus prayed that his believers, that his followers, that we would be one. And I believe, this is really important for Imago Dei. We talk about generous orthodoxy, and it's been one of the things we strive for. And it's really hard. There's a big diversity of people here, and we try not to take huge stances on as a church and say, you have to be a Democrat or you have to be a Republican to go here. We have to believe this. We have things that we have, just from practices that we've had to open up and say, this is acceptable within this space. This is what generous orthodoxy means. It's acceptable to have these practices going on. But that's still really hard. So our growth opportunity is to continue to create spaces where everybody, even people from these churches that kicked us out, feel welcome here. And that's the goal, and it's hard, and that's what we're going after. And in my experience, this is the only place I've ever been where this conversation's even happening. And I think it's crucial to what it means to be a Christian. It's crucial to our witness to the world. This is one of the key ways that I believe when Jesus talked about his new kingdom and his upside down kingdom that's making all things new, this is one of the best ways for the world to see that, is when a diverse group of people can get together and love each other well, even though they disagree on just about everything.
So Charlie gave us two questions to answer when we came up here, and it's, why was Imago Dei important to you almost 10 years ago, and why is it important to you now? 10 years ago, it's what my people were doing. I mean, straight up, that's what it was. They were my people, and we were starting a church together, and so that's what we did. I knew what it felt like to be kicked out of a church. What if we did, like Corey said, our best to make a safe place where that didn't happen to people? We have not gotten it right all the time, and we absolutely do not have it all figured out. There are people who have left this church over differences. It doesn't mean that just because we wanted to make that place that we got it perfect. We didn't. We were trying really hard, guys. Today, the reason that it's important to me is because Imago Dei is where I learned to be a whole person. And it doesn't mean that I have it figured out still. I'm still not a whole person. Please keep going if you feel like you're not a whole person. This is a place to keep going to do that. And I had to be honest with you, sometimes I don't know what my relationship is with this church. Being at the very beginning and moving forward with this church has been painful sometimes. I left the leadership team. There are weeks that I didn't want to come. But guys, we still give, and we still come. And the reason that we still give, and the reason we still come, is you. The church matters. It is the last great hope for the world, I think, and this church belongs to the Holy Spirit of God. And so I'm asking you, when you look at your giving, if there is even the smallest chance for anything that you have received for this church, for you to give that place and that space and that opportunity for somebody else to have what you have here, like it did for me, please give. I want everybody to have what I got here. Even if it's rocky, even if I don't understand it, if anybody can have even a fraction of what I've gained here as a person, as a Christian, as a spiritual director, I want you guys to have it so bad. And I believe that we're creating this space here. So as you look and you move forward, I'm asking you to listen to the Holy Spirit. because I do believe that this church belongs to him. And I think that he is the one who will carry it all forward.
Thank you, guys. Before we close this part, I just want to pray for the congregation, for all of you there. I know sometimes as a resource team leader, it's easy for me personally, at least, to get bogged down in the numbers and the logistics, and it is such a good reminder. This is the Spirit's church. This is God's church, and we want to rely on him to do what he has to do here in the city and in each of us individually. So let's just pray quick. God, thank you so much for this community here that you have created, for the ways that you have molded and shaped us as a body and as individuals. And we believe that you're doing that now, even in this season, that's something different than what we've experienced. God, we want to hold open space in our body and in our lives for you to move. God, please help us to make this church exactly what you need for it to be in this community. Please help us to give generously to your mission of loving every single person in the way that you call us to love. God, and please keep us focused on you and the way Jesus calls us to live through all of this. Help us not to get mired in the details, in the fears, in the frustrations, but just to keep moving forward with you the way that you've led us so far. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
So we are taking another pass at John 17 today. So I'm going to try something a little different today. And we're actually going to do a reflective reading called Lectio Divina through the John 17 passage. So you can just listen. I'm going to read the passage several times, or you can read it there. You can make notes on that paper, whatever. But last week, I thought it was the perfect opportunity since we already talked through the passage. And then this week being Pentecost, where we believe the Holy Spirit is with us, helping us to receive the scripture. We've got this Trinitarian circle dance right here. With in John 17, where Jesus is praying to the Father, and now the Spirit of Jesus is with us. So we're, as Corey described, it's like that divine dance is like a whirlpool. So we're going to jump into the whirlpool, and hopefully and participate in a spiritual practice. So for brevity and also for clarity, knowing myself, I wrote down my introduction to explain what Lectio is, so that I made sure it was clear. So here's what it is, and hopefully you're getting your passage. Lectio Divina, translated divine or sacred reading, is an approach to the scripture that sets us up to listen for the word of God spoken to us in this present moment. It's an ancient practice of scripture reading that dates back to the early fathers and mothers of the Christian faith, referring both to the material being read and also to the method itself. The practice of Lectio Divina is rooted in the belief that through the presence of the Holy Spirit, the scriptures are indeed alive and active as we engage them for spiritual transformation. Lectio involves a slower, more reflective reading that helps us to be open to God's initiative rather than being subject to human agendas, our own or someone else's. Through a delicate balance of silence and word, we enter into the rhythm of speaking and listening, which is at the heart of any intimate communication. A time of silence before the reading helps us to quiet our inner chaos so that we are prepared to listen. Moments of silence throughout the process help us to be attentive to God when he does speak and creates space for noticing our own inner dynamics and exploring them in God's presence. Ruth Haley Barton said it this way: when we engage the scriptures for spiritual transformation, we engage not only our mind, but also our heart, our emotions, our body, our curiosity, our imagination, and our will. We open ourselves to a deeper level of understanding and insight that grows out of and leads us deeper into our personal relationship with the one behind the text. It is in this context of relational intimacy that real life change takes place. Lectio has four main movements, so I'll read the passage four times, and you can read along or just listen. Each movement focuses on a slightly different question that invites you into the dynamic of that movement. Each reading is then followed by a brief period of silence, and I will be the timekeeper. This will feel strange to many of you, but I'm hoping you'll give it a shot and engage in the exercise. Be careful not to judge yourself or to overanalyze. Give yourself permission to experiment. It is impossible to fail. So keep that in mind, especially if you're new. So we will begin. So there's four main movements, but there is the prepare section. So before we begin, take a moment to enter fully into this moment. Allow your mind to become still, letting go of any unnecessary concerns. Closing your eyes, if that helps, let your body relax and notice if you're uncomfortable or holding any tension in your body. Allow yourself to become consciously aware of God's presence with us. You may offer a simple prayer if you wish, such as, "Come, Lord Jesus," or "Here I am," to express your willingness to hear from God in this meditation on Scripture. Let your hands lay comfortably in your lap and take three or four deep breaths. I'll read the passage aloud slowly, allowing the words to echo and to resonate, to sink in and settle into our hearts. As I read, listen for a word or phrase that strikes you or catches your attention. After I'm done reading, I'll pause for a moment of silence, and I ask that you simply repeat that word or phrase softly to yourself, pondering it and savoring it as though pondering the words of a loved one. At this point, don't analyze it or judge it or try to understand why that word or phrase intrigues you. Just hold it loosely and let it resonate within you. These are the words of Jesus. I'm praying not only for the disciples, but also for those who will believe in me because of them and their witness about me. The goal is for all of them to become one heart and mind, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, so they might be one heart and mind with us. Then the world might believe that you, in fact, sent me. The same glory you gave me, I gave them, so they'll be as united and together as we are, I and them, and you and me. Then they'll be mature in this oneness, and give the godless world evidence that you've sent me and loved them in the same way you've loved me. Father, I want those you gave me to be with me right where I am, so they can see my glory, the splendor you gave me, having loved me long before there ever was a world. Righteous Father, the world has never known you, but I have known you. And these disciples know that you sent me on this mission. I have made your very being known to them, who you are and what you do, and continue to make it known, so that your love for me might be in them, exactly as I am in them. In this next movement, listen for the way in which this passage connects with your life. Ask, what is it in my life right now that needs to hear this word? Maybe the Holy Spirit is highlighting this word or phrase for some reason. Use the silence that follows to explore any thoughts or memories that seem to emerge. I'm praying not only for the disciples, but also for those who will believe in me because of them and their witness about me. The goal is for all of them to become one heart and mind, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, so they might be one heart and mind with us. Then the world might believe that you, in fact, sent me. The same glory you gave me, I gave them, so they'll be as united and together as we are, I in them and you in me. Then they'll be mature in this oneness, and give the godless world evidence that you've sent me and loved them in the same way you've loved me. Father, I want those you gave me to be with me right where I am, so they can see my glory, the splendor you gave me, having loved me long before there ever was a world. Righteous Father, the world has never known you, but I have known you. and these disciples know that you sent me on this mission. I have made your very being known to them, who you are and what you do, and continue to make it known so that your love for me might be in them exactly as I am in them. For the third movement, the question we seek is, what is my truest response to God based on what I have heard and encountered? In the silence following this reading, allow yourself to spontaneously respond to God with a simple, honest prayer. You could also journal if you'd like. Here is where we shift from conversing with ourselves about the text to conversing with God about the emotions that have arisen in our hearts. Feelings such as love, joy, sorrow, anger, repentance, desire, need, conviction, consecration, etc. You might also feel some sense that God is inviting you to respond in some actionable way, whether it's now or later today. Maybe in a relationship or an area of your life. Pay attention to any ways your heart is stirred. I'm praying not only for the disciples, but also for those who will believe in me because of them and their witness about me. The goal is for all of them to become one heart and mind, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, so they might be one heart and mind with us. Then the world might believe that you, in fact, sent me. The same glory you gave me, I gave them. So they'll be as unified and together as we are, I in them and you in me. Then they'll be mature in this oneness and give the godless world evidence that you've sent me and loved them in the same way you've loved me. Father, I want those you gave me to be with me right where I am so they can see my glory, the splendor you gave me, having loved me long before there ever was a world. Righteous Father, the world has never known you, but I have known you, and these disciples know that you sent me on this mission. I have made your very being known to them, who you are and what you do, and I continue to make it known so that your love for me might be in them, exactly as I am in them. I forgot to mention that distractions are normal, and don't judge yourself for those. Some of the saints have said that any distraction is just another chance to return to God, and so it's another opportunity to return. For today's final movement, you are invited to rest in God's presence. Since you have already responded to God, you can now simply cherish this last moment as a gift. Resting in God's presence like the content and peaceful child who leans against its mother. We bring a posture of intimacy to this space as we trust and delight in the great shepherd of our souls. I'm praying not only for the disciples, but also for those who will believe in me because of them and their witness about me. The goal is for all of them to become one heart and mind, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, so they might be one heart and mind with us. Then the world might believe that you, in fact, sent me. The same glory you gave me, I gave them, so they'll be as unified and together as we are, I in them and you in me. Then they'll be mature in this oneness and give the godless world evidence that you've sent me and loved them in the same way you've loved me. Father, I want those you gave me to be with me right where I am, so they can see my glory, the splendor you gave me, having loved me long before there ever was a world. Righteous Father, the world has never known you, but I have known you, and these disciples know that you sent me on this mission. I have made your very being known to them, who you are and what you do, and continue to make it known, so that your love for me might be in them exactly as I am in them. In the words of Dietrich Bonhoeffer from his book Life Together, the word of Scripture should never stop sounding in your ears and working in you all day long, just like the words of someone you love. And just as you do not analyze the words of someone you love, but accept them as they are said to you, accept the word of Scripture and ponder it in your heart, as Mary did. That is all. Do not ask, how shall I pass this on, but what does it say to me? Then ponder this word long in your heart until it has gone right into you and taken possession of you.